Welcome to Eretz Pod, the official podcast of Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi. We offer timely reflections on the weekly Torah portion and other timeless Torah insights. Support for Eretz Pod comes from listeners like you. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Shvi of Parshat Emor ends with the story of a dispute that escalated between a Jew from Shevet Dan and the son of a Jewish woman, also from Shevet Dan, but an Egyptian father. And the son of the Jewish woman, the Egyptian father, was so incensed in this argument that he had with the Ish Yisraeli, that the Ish Mitzri curses God. And the question is, how is he to be treated? How is he to be punished? And Moshe inquires of God, and God instructs him to subject the one who cursed the name of God to the death penalty of Skila. And the Torah concludes this story. It's the last pasuk in Parshas Emor. They took him outside of the camp. And they stoned him. And the end of that pasuk is, Uvnei Yisrael asu kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Bnei Yisrael did as God commanded Moshe. Rashi comments on this ending as to say that they did every detail of the mitzvah of Skila, and there are a number of, other than the stoning, but there are a number of other details in the form of this execution. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says the Ubnei Yisrael asu kitam hakatuv lomer alomar. The meaning of the pasuk is to say ki kasher diber Moshe Ubnei Yisrael hotziu miyad et mekalel v'ragmu oto. They did this instruction right away. The asu came kol b'nei Yisrael lishmor v'lasod kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. They did it as God commanded Moshe v'lo l'sinat ben ha-mitzri shenitzayim ha-yisraeli. It was not because he was a ben ha-mitzri, that he had an Egyptian father, that he wasn't, quote, a full Jew in their eyes. It wasn't because of that. It wasn't, there was no other intent. But there was something fundamentally destructive and fundamentally wrong with this person, such that God himself had commanded that he be put to death. And their intention was not out of some kind of vengeance or some kind of anger or some kind of pleasure, if you will, of destroying him. But there is the command of God. We know that the expression of anger that comes to its full fruition in destroying the other whom we're angry at is found at the beginning, almost at the beginning. It's what I call the second sin of man. If the first sin of man, of Adam and Chava, was that they wanted to become as God, v'yitem kelokim, creator of worlds, the way Rashi explains that God ate from this tree and created a world, they learned they can't be creators of worlds. But the next sin, the second sin, is the sin of Cain. And Cain's sin was such that if he can't become a creator of life, he can nonetheless become a destroyer of life. And the power of taking the other's life and the sense of rule and position that I have in snuffing out the life of the other. It lends to man a sense of godliness, if you will, terrible as that sounds, of overwhelming power. And take a look at the difference between the reaction of Adam HaRishon. Although it was not the best reaction. When asked, he said, oh, you know, had he eaten from the tree? He said, well, why are you hiding? He said, I was ashamed. I discovered I was naked. I was ashamed, so I hid. He didn't deny. He just said, well, the woman she gave me, it was not the correct response, if you will. He passed the buck on to her, refused to accept responsibility. But nonetheless, Cain, God asks him a question, and he says, where is Hevel, your brother? Ayom Hashem el Cain, ey Hevel achicha. And he knows very well where Hevel, his brother, is. He's murdered him. And God says, why? I hear his voice crying out, the blood crying out, right? Cain says, lo yodati Hashem rochi anochi. I don't know where he is. Am I supposed to be guarding him? The answer is, of course, yes, you are supposed to. And the answer is, yes, you do know. But Cain is so full of himself that now he responds to God as the God he imagines himself to be, because he succeeds in taking life. So there is something that happens in the taking of life that gives a person a sense of power that's overwhelming, and it becomes heady power, dominance. The Confederate General Robert E. Lee said, it is well war is so terrible, otherwise we shall grow too fond of it. It is well war is so terrible, otherwise we shall grow too fond of it. But the history of the human condition is that the terribleness of war is such that we do grow too fond of it. A sad remark. But nonetheless, there's a truth in it. And it begins in the beginning. It's the, if you will, the pleasure of the sense of control or divinity that Cain experiences. And so the Ramban on this pasuk, disagreeing with Rashi as to the meaning of Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, the Ramban says, the Asukein Kol B'nei Yisrael Lishmor V'Lasot Am Yisrael did what it did in this execution. Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe V'lo L'Sinas Ben HaMitzri Shenitza Im HaYisraeli. They didn't do it for the sense of avenging, for the sense of hate, for the sense of the power, just as Cain hated Hevel because God favored his carbon rather than Cain's own carbon. This is echoed again in the pasuk that tells us that after the people of Am Yisrael will have to wipe out an entire city, all the inhabitants of the city, because the city was worshipping Avodah Zarah, the case of Ir HaNidachat that we learn about in Parshat Re'eh. We're told everything has to be destroyed, all the property has to be burned, all the property has to be destroyed. And the Parsha ends by saying, V'natan l'cho rachamim. God will give you mercy. V'richamcha and have mercy upon you. V'hir becha kasher v'yerbecha v'kasher nishba l'avotecha. He will give you mercy. It's pointed out by various mefarshim. I first saw this a long time ago in the Chofetz Chaim al Torah. What is being said here is that we will grow too fond of. We will get used to it. We will become inured, we'll become hardened, and become, on the one hand, able to kill, and on the other hand, perhaps even going one step further. somehow tempted to kill. There's a pleasure in being godlike and taking life. And so God promises, V'natan l'cha rachamim, if you do the mitzvah, and you do the mitzvah, ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, lishmar et kol mitzvah, you're doing it only because of the mitzvah, and you're not tainted, but you're in danger of being tainted, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you an extra measure of rachamim to offset what has taken place in this terrible, terrible act. Similarly, the Ramban, in explaining something about what happened with the Mitzrim, Avram Avinu is told in Parshas Lech Lecha, in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Avram. Avram had asked, how will I know that my descendants will have this land? Bana Eidaki Iroshena. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayomer Avram, Yodoa Teidaki Ger Yezaracha. You should know that Ki Ger Yezaracha Beretz Lo Lahem VeAvadum VeInuo Tam Arba Meot Shana. Your people, your children, will go through this slavery. They will be servants. They will serve in a land that is not theirs. VeInuo Tam, and they will, the people of that land will afflict them. But also, the people who afflict that they serve, Don Anochi, I will judge. Right? I will judge them. They will pay the price for having afflicted. Well, wait a second. There's something that seems unfair here. After all, the Egyptians, they had to, because God said they will, what else? Right, this is one of the problems of freedom and free will. The Rambam discusses it in Perikei of Hilchos Tshuva and in Perik Vav of Hilchos Tshuva. The question, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam's answer as to why they still deserve to be punished if they didn't have free will. The Ramban says the reason is that the reason they are punished, v'anochon be'enai, the Ramban says, kitam v'gam afal pishani gazarti al gzeiratcha liyot geirim ba'aretz lo lahem v'avadum v'inu otam. Yes, there is a decree that they're going to have to be in this land that is not there, and they're going to have to be servants, and they're going to be afflicted. Afal pikein eshpota tagoi, nonetheless, I will judge the nation, asher yavodu al asher yasu lahem, v'lo yifteru ba'avur shasu g'dei roti, and they're not going to be exempt because they did my decree. Why? The reason is that they were told, they were determined, they were destined necessarily to enslave the Jews, but they acted beyond the limits of the determination. The Ramban gives the example, they threw the male children into the waters. That's not part of the deal. Somehow or other, following Lee's concept, they went beyond on their own because it became so attractive to them. It became so much a part of them, right? And that is what they are responsible for. They're responsible for the step beyond that they take. There are things that we might have to do that circumstances, such as they may be, require us to do them. But there's no necessity to add the extra blow, the extra smack, the extra murder. All of that is in the world of the unacceptable. But Am Yisrael Yasu only, not because of any other reason other than this was the command of God. They did not do it to wreak their anger at this interloper into the Jewish people, at this person who dared to claim he was a full Jew in some way. And for that, Am Yisrael is to be praised. There are things sometimes we have to do. I'll just give an example. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, when he talks about it, he's very much against getting angry in Hilchot Deyot. So he says, you know, that what you should really stay far, far away from it. And even though there are times in order to make the point to the other person, you have to express anger, but it should essentially be an act to make the impression on the person. But in your feeling inside, you should not really taste the taste of anger, get the feeling of anger, and get the feeling of releasing that anger. So it's the same kind of idea that runs throughout the Ramban, v'natan l'cha rachamim. We should all be zoche not to have to do certain things, but when we have to do them because the circumstances demand them, we should do it only to the limit, only to the degree that is absolutely necessary. But we should not say, in this case, so once we have to do it, we have to abandon all feelings of rachamim. We have to somehow transform ourselves, because of the definition in transforming ourselves, we may have to punish and we may have to sometimes shout, but we should not become people who enjoy the punishment of punishing others. V'nasan l'cha rachamim.
That concludes our podcast. If you would like to dedicate or sponsor a podcast, visit our website at eretzpod.org. That's eretzpod.org. If you enjoy our content, leave us a kind rating or review on your podcast platform. It helps others to find us. And thanks for learning with us.